Okay, so this session is going to be about test automation. I'm from basically Barcelona, so if you have any questions like in Spanish, you want to clarify after this, I'll be more than happy to answer those. So this test, this session is going to be about test automation for Dynamics, and just a little bit about myself. This is, suppose that's me with a way more formal picture and less geek picture, but basically working as a solution architect for companies in Ireland, although I'm based in Barcelona. I was awarded the MVP for business solutions from April this year, and this is my Twitter handle if you want to get in touch. And I have basically, so the topic for this session is going to be about an open source framework that I was building for the last couple of years, which is available on GitHub, and it's completely free. You can go just download it, install, and it has Nuget packages, which helps about using it. And I have this blog as well, if you want to have a look. So the agenda for today is going to be why unit testing, you know, Dynamics. Why should it be unit testing Dynamics? Why I started with this this framework, which is basically the reasons, all the challenges and problems that I was facing while using other .NET mocking frameworks. First of all, does anybody in the audience used any mocking frameworks for .NET or unit testing? No? Okay, cool. No, because then I'll give some kind of background first. so then I'll briefly explain how this works internally, and I'll do a demo using Visual Studio 2017 with live unit tests, which is a new feature that was released like just a while ago for Visual Studio 2017 Enterprise. So why unit testing? So if you are asking yourselves why should a unit test for Dynamics, then this is the answer. Just wait, because it's even better. There you go. Yeah. So this is the reason why we want to do unit testing. Yeah, we want to avoid.
It worked.
It's amazing. So this is the reason why we want to really embrace unit testing, because we get rid of looking for production issues. Yeah. But also, kind of the serious, more serious explanation, just maybe for your managers as well, is around. I like to answer this question from three different points of view. The first point of view is about always around the cost. Yeah. We're consultants, we work with projects. Projects cost money, a lot of money. And so I did basically research of which bugs were kind of the most expensive bugs in history. And not surprisingly, they were related to space bugs. So for example, in 1996, there was the European Space Agency project, which was a rocket called Ariane 5 mission, where these guys basically spent more than $370 million and which blew up in 40 seconds due to an integral overflow. Yeah, something really, really, really small basically blew up an entire project, and like this, yeah? But not surprisingly, like 3 years later, then NASA was working on this project. This was a Mars, it's a probe, basically something you want to just send to Mars to get some measures and then just, you know, just know a little bit more of Mars. Was a $320 million project, which borne up by a unit of measure conversion issue. So basically, this is an example of the lack of integration testing. When the company who manufactured this it designed it to use units of the international system metrics, whereas from Houston, they were sending units using the British coordinates. So the result was that this machine was approaching too far, too close to the atmosphere, and it basically disintegrated like this. Yeah, do you know this company? It's called Knights Capital. So Knights Capital is a company which doesn't exist anymore, but they used to do high frequency trading. So they work with the stock market, La Bolsa. And they do lots of transactions. They had automated pretty much everything. They were moving like billions with B of dollars per minute. And what happened to this company is that they had an issue. They have load balance environment, of course, like with 8 different servers. And they deployed the last version to 7 servers. But somehow, they deployed a quite old version to the last server. So that deployment only to one server basically caused to do some operations to basically to buy high and sell low. So they were losing, and it was, if you add that to a high frequency trading, which is doing operations like millions per second, what happened was that they got burned up in 45 minutes. Yeah. So this is just to give you an idea of the bugs have consequences both externally from your point of view and also internally. External because of course you deploy something that doesn't work, then customers won't be happy, of course. And from the internal point of view, and if you work as a consultant, it's kind of annoying to have bugs and those kind of things. So what unit testing gives us is automated regression testing, yeah? So it's not gonna do something like try to discover new issues for us, because that's why we need to add tests. But once we have a bunch of unit tests coded, when we can start easily adding small changes with small increments, and then just retest everything else to make sure it's still working. Yeah? So it's about regression. But it also, when you embrace TDD, it drives development. So I'll show at the end of this session, I'll do a demo where rather than just, for example, just coding a website and then just running it and debugging it and testing it, what I'm going to do is actually do the same way but using unit tests without actually even running the web application. The web application is going to be connected to Dynamics, but I don't need to actually use Dynamics for this, yeah, because it's completely isolated. So I've been working with projects which had more than 500 entities, more than 80 plugins, more than 540 plugin steps, like close to 800 workflows, web workflows, CSS packages, loads of different things. And this environment basically doesn't make any sense to do manual testing because it would cost like massive amounts of money. Like try to retest everything every time you make a change, it's pretty much impossible. So what unit testing and integration tests provide is sustainable from a point of view that it's gonna, I have a code base that I'm always testing and always passes my unit tests, and it's gonna sustain for a long time. It's not like kind of chaotic when you do manual testing and just make a small change. Oh, actually, I broke this that was supposed to be working like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So why I started working with this open source framework? Because I could just use .NET Mocha. I could use Fake It Easy. There are many open source frameworks for .NET. The problem is that when I was starting using .NET frameworks, like for Amok, is something you use to isolate from Dynamics. So for example, say you want to test when you create a lead, you want to test that the lead was created, but actually you don't use a direct database. Yeah? You're just something replacing the connection, the database, with kind of a service that emulates that behavior. Yeah? Because you want to isolate from issues like network, database, and that kind of stuff. So you could use the .NET frameworks, but the issue is that for Dynamics specifically, because the SDK, as part of new releases, they introduced new messages, but the core of the SDK didn't really change much. It's always about creating records, reading records, updating records, deleting records, doing queries using LinQ, fetch XML, query expressions, and other messages, So at around 2014, I started trying to do unit testing with those existing .NET frameworks, and actually I have a blog post where you can just to compare kind of the key differences, and I found many problems, basically because I found myself doing a lot of repetitive tasks, because always the same thing. So if you take just the CM consultant and you put that CM consultant trying to do unit tests, is hard because there's a learning curve. And just the mocking concept is not really easy. Not to mention that trying to mock queries is really hard, and I'll show why after this. And also we have a bunch of messages we have to mock, so what's the point of trying to do the same steps over and over again? So maybe if I created something that could be used for the community, because they're always the same repetitive tasks, then that would be handy. So the first problem was complexity. You know, this is something that with Dynamics, you can create a record in a single line of code, yeah? Service.create, it's created, yeah? But in order to test that this method was called using, for example, this is using mock, my code base is something like this, which is kind of crazy, you know? It's introducing complexity because for testing something that was a single line of code in Dynamics, I actually need to put more code for testing it, which doesn't make any sense, yeah? The second main problem was about queries. If you search on Stack Overflow, you know, there are many people just mocking the repeat multiple message, for example, yeah? But the problem with that is that those mocks were doing something, those guys were doing something like, okay, whenever you call retrieve multiple, just return a list of dummy entities. Like I'm simulating that, you know, retrieve multiple is working somehow. But the problem with that is that those mocks are ignoring completely things like joins, yeah, things like where conditions, things like layout or joins, for example, and things like projections. In this case, it's returning the full contact, but I could just return two attributes, for example, yeah? So the problem with those, that way of mocking is that you could, you know, something could be perfectly fine during the unit testing phase, but as soon as you deploy into integration testing, then it's gonna fail because, oh, I forgot to filter by active accounts, for example, or I forgot to join by whatever, yeah? So what this framework is actually doing is it's actually running this query as it's supposed to run in CRM, but in memory, so I'll show you that later. The last problem was that we have a single execute method with a bunch of different messages to mock, yeah? So that's kind of the same idea of queries, but multiplied by the number of messages in CRM. It's more complex, so you basically end up, say for example, if you're doing you're executing a plugin, which is executing a message, and after the message is doing some logic, this becomes basically a unit test for unit test for unit test for unit test in runs. Yeah? So unit testing for Dynamics would be amazing if everything was already mocked for us by default. Yeah? Why have to do the same steps, you know, every single time? Yeah? So then I started working on this on November 2014. And actually, you know, this started as a personal project. I never thought it's gonna be used so much, because it has, you know, there are several versions for each Dynamics CRM version, and if you sum all of those, it's like 20,000 downloads, you know, like. And it got contributions for other users, other MVPs. It has been downloaded like in more than 30 different countries, so it's pretty cool. So how it works? It has this method you could just call to get an instance of an organization service, yeah? But that has all these mocks already implemented for you. One line of code, yeah? This is the idea. It also has the query engine, so every time I execute a query expression or a link queue or fetch XML query attribute, it's gonna parse the query and then just execute it against a kind of, it simulates a list of entities in memory as well, yeah? And it has some, quite a lot of fake messages already implemented. Fake messages means some of the CRM messages, but inside the mocking framework, like, they're not real, they're just simulated. But for unit testing, are handy. So actually, if we want to have a look at the code, please send pull requests, because, you know, obviously, they are not all implemented yet. So how this works? From a unit testing point of view, you only get this, but what happens behind the scenes is that it's calling this fake EDC, which is mocking framework for .NET. You could use it for any .NET application. Whenever you do execute, dot execute, it's kind of deciding, okay, if this is a CRUD operation, then just create records or read them or records in an in-memory database. Or if the query is more complex, then it's kind of, there's a query translation step there. But the end result is that you can interact with this as everything behind this was CRM, yeah? From a coding point of view, it's gonna be the same thing. So how this works? It's basically, the memory database has two levels of dictionaries. It has a first index of entities indexed by name. So this is kind of familiar to all the different tables you have in CRM. And the second level indexed by GRID, so it basically emulates the primary key. So you could have, three account records with three different GRIDs, for example, or two account records with two different GRIDs and one contact record was with another GRID. And you can extend it to, work with many entities. So because this works in memory, it's basically several orders of magnitude faster than disks or network. Like something you had to, if you compare this to, for example, manual testing, if you have to test anything, you have to go to CRM, just wait for, clicking a record in CRM, waiting for, you have to get to the same map, then just open the record in CRM. Well, you have to search first, you have to search for it, then you can click it, and then you start testing something like, say, for a plugin, yeah? But this, that's network bandwidth and it takes a couple of seconds. With this, basically, you can run unit tests in milliseconds, yeah? So the query engine, how this works. Do you know when you have a link queue? Have you ever used link queue for CRM? Yeah? When you do something like this, do you know how the link queue SDK translates this into something that is executed into CRM? No? No? Any volunteers? Yeah? I'm gonna kill anyone, yeah? So. Basically, when you run this query, it's converted into a query expression behind the scenes. Yeah? So what I had to do is, if every time I execute a CRM link queue query, it's converted into a query expression, then if I had something to just translate this into my list of entities in memory, then with the same implementation in here, I could have this one working and this one working with same price. And this is basically where I spent like 2 years. Yeah, because this query translation step is about just unit testing all the combinations of this entity, for example, joined with this entity, the main entity filtered by this attribute value, whereas, for example, the second entity from the join filtered by a second value, and so on and so on. So all different combinations of joins, conditions, projections, order by ascending, descending, all these kind of things. So quite a lot. So I basically didn't sleep much. So then once I had this implemented, then just adding query by attribute was rather simple because this is just a subset of this one. Yeah. If we have this implemented, then just query by a single attribute is way more easy. And then fetch XML was kind of the same thing because every single query expression can be converted into fetch XML, not the opposite because fetch XML is query expressions plus mainly aggregations. Yeah, but pretty much everything else. So there's a kind of an extra translation step to convert fetch XML into query expression in order for this to happen. So I spent like loads of time debugging queries like this. Yeah. So to recap, what this framework gives you is a single organization service. So you only need to call it once without mocks. You have actually to be an expert of mocking frameworks. And it has all those mocks implemented for you, one line of code. It can execute query expressions, so you could actually find an issue in a query even before deploying it. Yeah, and it has also fake matches implemented. So, so basically, the conclusion is that fake XRM Easy provides a sustainable and cost-effective because I have to mock everything every single time. It's way more faster and simple to make constant changes to dynamics. And we have to make, I have to make constant changes for dynamics because I work in a developer team, along with other two developer teams making changes like in parallel every single day. So, it's not about testing your stuff. It's about testing that my stuff doesn't break all the other teams as well. Yeah? So this is a frame for .NET right now. So anything that is a .NET application and uses the organization service, it can be unit tested with this. And this could be web portals like MVC, could be plugins, code activities, custom actions, console apps, Xamarin apps, script components if they're connected to Dynamics, for example, with a web service reference. So this is an example of a real life scenario where I implemented a web portal to process some kind of highly regulated authority in Ireland to process payments and that kind of stuff. Actually, this is all. We have more than 1,000 now. But and also, the framework itself is unit tested, so I have like more than 2,000 unit tests to test all the different combinations of, you know, query expressions or the bias, etc. So, okay, demo time. I'm gonna switch off to Visual Studio. Make sure this is stopped first. Okay. So the thing we are going to test is just a simple example. Say we have a web application for CM Saturday, where people that wants to attend to this event needs to get in touch using a web page. Yeah. It's a simple, you know, typical contact page from any web application. What we want is that when they submit the contact page, a lead should be created in Dynamics so we can follow up with like phone calls, emails, and stuff. And this is why I hate, you know, just debugging, because just by running a web application takes ages. And I'll show you, I could just, you could debug also unit tests. It's way faster than this. It's compiling for the first time, so that's why. Okay, this is kind of the fancy page for this. And this is the contact page with very simple, yeah. Email, name, that's all, nothing else, yeah. And this is connected to a Dynamics CRM instance in the cloud. I just don't want to even open it. Just imagine this is connected. It has a connection string like, I'll explain the kind of the structure of the web application so you can just understand what I'm talking to, trying to explain. But this web application has basically just web config where, you know, it's connected to Dynamics using a connection string. This is using the XRM tooling, and you should use the XRM tooling because, you know, as you know, the old organization service is going to be deprecated from, like, in a couple of months. And so the XRM tooling manages the connection for you, manages if it should connect to the old one or to the new one just by just providing the connection string. The XRM tooling is available from, as a NuGet package, so I could go to, for example, manage NuGet packages, and if you search by XRM tooling, this is the one. Basically, yeah, XRM tooling, and you know, it's always updated. It's the most recent updated by Microsoft. I'm just gonna get back. Explain the social structure. Basically, we have a solution with my website and a unit test project connected to that website. And just ignore the plugins for this. I don't think I have time for test showing this. It's going to be mainly the website. And type identities. Do you use early bound entities or late bound entities with Dynamics? Say again? Late bound. Late bound? How many late bounds? Raise your hand. Almost everybody. How many early bounds are supposed to rest? With unit testing, it's way better to use early bound. Do you know why? Basically, because if it's late bound, you can just put whatever attributes you want. Yeah, it's their string. They use magic strings. You could put basically attributes which doesn't exist in CRM. So you could just doing a unit test. Oh, this works fine. And then you deploy it, but it crashes. You know, a typo happens like thousands of times to me. The early bound types is better because you could have something like a bat file, which connects to Dynamics CRM, which is really simple, or a PowerShell. And then you can even extend the default example from the MSDN and put an XML to filter by which entities I want to generate code dynamically for. Yeah. And the main benefit is, first of all, I get IntelliSense. So I can just type with attributes, and those attributes will always exist. The second thing is, And because it's strong type, then the union test won't even compile if someone, for example, deletes a field in CRM or changes a field in CRM. I run this as part of the amazing Jonas DevOps script, which runs this bat file again and generates my code. So, and then the unit test file is, well, actually, it will try to build the project, but it won't build because some field was deleted. So you have to spend time running unit tests or integration tests because it happens way early in the life cycle. And so I just prefer element types. Okay. Okay, so so this is my unit test project. What I'm going to do is add a unit test that basically is going to make sure that when I get a contact request, it's going to create a lead. Yeah? So first of all, the step you need to do is to go to manage NuGet packages and browse for the Effective XRM Easy project, which is available in NuGet. And like this. Oh, sorry, typo. And basically, I have five different versions. Depending if you're working with 365, you can just get this one. Or if you're working with 2016, you can use this one, 2015. This is 2011. Yeah, there's still people using 2011. And actually, I can just even upgrade it because I just deployed a version this morning because I'm really bored. So I'm just going to update this version. And what this is doing is not just installing the package, but it's also, because I selected 365, it's pulling the dependencies to install the tooling for that version specifically, 365. So I had to do it twice. And when this installs, it's also loading a web page that I just deployed. It has some examples like videos, installation, how to test applying, how to test connectivity. You can use it for further reference. This is built in Angular 2, and it's deployed using Docker containers, but that will be for a second session. Yeah. And so I have the framework installed, and I'm just going to start throwing tests. So for example, okay. Yeah. Do you like me? Yeah. Oh, first of all, sorry. I'm going to do the demo using live unit tests. So if I go to the quick find, come on, and start searching for live unit tests. This is a new feature for from 2017, where you can just, what this is doing is every time I make a change to my code, it's automatically running any unit test in the background. So I have to keep just manually running tests and just waiting to be finished. It's great because I can just start coding and just keep coding, and that's running in the background. And it's also in sync with the test explorer window, this test explorer window, this one, yeah? So you can set up to be using kind of different modes. You can put it to run on solution load, which I don't recommend if you have a big solution because they're going to take ages. You could post the live unit testing during build and debug. This is handy when you want to debug because you don't want to run things in parallel you're debugging because it's too slow. And this is great because live unit testing is running as a background process almost constantly. If your battery is low below whatever percentage, that's increasing the power consumption. So you can just set it to run, only above 30 or something like that. Okay, so how this works is simple. You can either search it on the quick find or go to the test menu, and then just do live unit testing start. And as you can see, you will see that as soon as making changes, the output console is always showing some info about what it's doing. So just for example, it built the unit test project and also run the three tests they have for all the plugins, and it's working fine. So I'm going to add a new test. So fact, this is an attribute from XUnit to say the method that I'm going to put right now, for example, when contact. So, I hate tapping while standing up. Gets in. And also the keyboard is funny when I'm sharing screen. Lit. Is created, for example. Yeah, and I always start, yeah, I'm gonna do TDD rather than just doing the typical workflow where you make some changes, deploy to CRM, start testing manually. This is completely different. I'm just starting with unit tests first, making sure that the contact, well, you know, I'm simulating that the contact that gets in touch, then it leads to the existing CRM. Then I implement the logic in the website to validate that test, and I'm gonna do those steps a couple of times without deploying. And then say once I'm happy at the end of the day, I can just deploy it. Yeah? I don't have to be constantly deploying, testing, no, just testing, coding, and then at the end deploying. Yeah? Or if you have disconnected to Visual Studio Team Services, then Visual Studio Team Services will be in charge of deploying everything for you. So okay, so I always start with a fail test that it must pass. Yeah. So as you can see, as soon as I'm making changes, you know, live unit testing is running in the background, and you know it's always in sync with your Test Explorer. Yeah. So this is the test fail. I need to now I have to implement the logic which is going to make this test pass. So I'll go back to the website, and actually, but before doing this, I'll set up my unit test. So what I'm going to do is context equals Nick's new XRM fake context. And this class, what this is doing is just simulating this, the organization database. I'm going to get an instance. So basically, it will keep all the entities in memory whenever I do create, delete, etc. Those calls will be intercepted and then just add it into this. So I can do something like this, service context.getOrganizationService. And again, this is the most powerful line of the framework because with one line of code, I get a service I can just use directly, and it has all the mocks implemented for me. Yeah, I have to mock anything. It's right on. So the next thing is in the website, I had a command called command contact submission, which is nothing but really simple. It gets the model from the view with the email field, name, and so on. And then this command is in charge of basically persisting this into CRM. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is from the test, I'm going to execute that command and make sure that once it is executed, a lead should be created. So I could actually change this, the assertion, to say that at the end, and because I'm using angular bounds, it's rather easy and rather simple, just and fast to start typing to say when at the end of this test that I should have at least one lead created. So I could do something like to list, for example, and count, and I could do that, you know, at least one lead should exist. Yeah? That's our goal. So let's make it happen. So I'm going to create a command. I'm going to reference that command that I was showing you earlier. Contact submission, as you can see. Sorry, just typing too fast. and say that because I'm just unit testing, I could do something like, I could pass the model. I could inject the model, yeah? New model. And then I could do something like email, for example, fake email, for example. That's it. Then, Okay, and the last step is just to execute this command. This command basically takes the connection service as an input. You could use dependency injection as well. You can just create an instance and it will be automatically injected as well. That's the other option. Just to keep it simple, I want to introduce so many concepts. So then I could do command execute, and then is when I'm passing the fake service that I got from here, yeah, from this place, and then service, and that's all. That's basically my unit test setup. Yeah, it takes some time to do it for the first one, but then if you have some variations of the same scenario, you can just copy and paste, and it's really easy. So I have this setup, and so now I have to go back to the logic itself, and now assuming that I got that model with some details, I'm going to create a lead in CRM. So let's say I have this new lead, and then where, for example, the email address 1, for example, is going to be what I got from the model, the email field. Yeah. And then the other thing I'm doing is as simple as service.create with the lead. Yeah. And because live unit testing is running, oh, it passed. Yeah. I have to even run the unit test again. So let's say now it's a bit more complicated. And for example, if the same content tries to get in touch twice, we don't want to get duplicates created in CRM. Yeah. So now the first unit test that basically took some time to set up, it's way more easy now because I could just do something like this. Paste, and when the contact, oh, typo. Let me touch it twice, for example. A lead is not created, for example. And then this unit test is slightly different than the other one because this one needs an input, yeah? We start from a state where we had one lead in the kind of Jumi database, yeah? So the way we kind of tell this to the framework is I'm just adding a step before this, which is I'm going to actually create my lead. Yeah. So say, for example, or existing lead equals new lead. Yeah. And I'm going to do git.empty. Yeah, sorry, git, not git. So basically, the framework needs that you must pass an ID because as it's simulated that records exist in the database, all records have an ID, a primary key at least. And I could do something like, okay, assuming that, for example, I had a list with, I don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo, for example. Assuming Cristiano Ronaldo has a Gmail account, yeah. Then and I'm just creating the record, but I need to tell the framework somehow that this record exists. The way it's doing it is just as simple as doing something dot context dot initialize, and then I can pass a list of entities. Yeah, because it's a really simple case where I just need one record, but for all scenarios, I might need to just define a state where I have a. Some many records are actually many records related between each other using relationships, one to many, many to many, that kind of stuff. That's maybe a session for another day. But what I need to do is just say, I'm going to pass a list of entities where I have just one entity. Which entity? My existing lead. Yeah. That's all. Now I have an existing lead. So if I run this, it's failing, because mainly my logic is always creating leads without any checking of any, doing any queries or something like that to make sure that at least the lead is not duplicated basically. So what I'm gonna do now is just make that test pass. So basically, I'm going to add a query. So I'm going to use link queue, but as I said before, you could use fetch XML, you could use query expressions, you could use query attributes, it supports all different types. Yeah? I just link queue because, again, it's strong type. So I can use IntelliSense, and you know, again, if someone, like before, if someone deletes a field, then the link queue wouldn't want to compile as well. And the cool thing about this is that the service context, for example, new XRM service context. This is the context that is also generated from the bat file, and I can pass the service. And I can also pass the fake service. And this is really cool, because as the XRM service context translates, you know, things like executing queries or adding, doing something like add link or add object, it translates those things into .create, .update, .delete behind the scenes. Then I can just, the service context in also, is also automatically mocked by me. I don't have to do anything else. And I can just keep calling things, calling organization service, and I have to mock anything. It's just really cool. So for example, I have the service context now, so I can do something like existing lid equals from all leads in my service context, for example, and I'm pulling all leads, so from all leads, only, so make it just filter, basically, really simple. If the email address for that lead matches the email that I got from the model, then select L, first default, different than null. This basically means if there is at least one list with that email address, existing list, then if only if the existing list doesn't exist, then is when I'm going this, doing this. Yeah, and then this will kick off in the background, and our both tests should basically succeed, hopefully. Oh, the build is failing, the build. Oh, yes, a typo. Oh yeah, because I was conflicting with this one, sorry. So, cool. That's all, that should be okay now. If I go to the output window, okay. It's running manually, and if it doesn't work, then I can debug unit tests. Okay, it's failing. Sorry? Okay, that's a good point, yeah. That's actually the reason, yeah. So I was using basically two, yeah, cool. So just copy and paste. Thank you. So now that's done, you know, it's really simple. Then I can just keep going using kind of this life cycle, and then once I'm happy, just deploy it. And the main advantage is that if I have a production issue or regression issue, then I know it's definitely not related to this. It must be to something else, like issues like integration testing. Like, for example, when you put deploy two plugins together, what's the interaction between those? And then some fun issues might happen, or even just CRM itself fails, you have database locks, that kind of stuff. But it's not related to your code. And then you can actually call Microsoft, and it's your fault. Yeah. And so that's all. If you have any questions, I'd like to thank the sponsors as well, of course, because they made this possible. And also thanks to the contributors of the open source project. Yeah. And so, have any questions? Yeah. Automock, yeah.
Do you know that?
I know TypeMock, not Automock.
No, but sorry. I'm confusing the names. It's a framework from Mark Sina, and it's AutoFixture.
AutoFixture, yeah. No, I never tried, to be honest. No. I just tried Mock, M-O-Q, no. Fake it easy. And then for JavaScript, I tried Sinon.js, you know, Chai, Mocha, Jasmine, those kind of things. But no, I didn't try that one.
Yeah, the thing is, AutoFixture, it's not actually a mock framework. It's a framework that allows you to create testing data.
Okay.
And it make it everything automatically.
Okay. Nice addition.
To use that framework with the
with this one.
With this,
okay, I'll have a look, yeah.
And the thing is that the way that it's implemented, they have something like connectors, and they have connectors already implemented for a standard mock framework.
Okay.
And it's great because you can even skip the step to create the manual data.
Okay. Cool. I have a look, yeah. I think it's kind of similar because this is about just not using mocks, it's just about having some input data and then making sure that you have some actually output, you know, data sets, and then just do assertions on that. When it gets complicated and you have things like, for example, a Serum plugin which is calling a web service, for example, then it's when you have to mock that stuff, because obviously, you know, that's a new interface, which is not the organization new service. So I'm using a combination of both. Everything that is here, I'm using this. Everything that is using external to Dynamics, I'm using Fake DC, or I could try that one as well. Yeah. But the idea is you can just, you know, the concept of black box testing and white box. So this is about just black box, but you can convert it to white box using Fake DC. Yeah, and that's up to you. But yeah, it saves a lot of time for just for the DCM side of things. Any other questions? You're waiting for the raffle, yeah?
Any advice about what to stop to test? You know, many times I start to doing tests, and I don't know when to stop.
When to stop?
When to stop to test.
Oh, what know? Question? Yeah. When to stop? It's always up to you, but the good thing about live unit testing is it's not just running unit tests behind the scenes. You can get access to, for example, things like, I'll go back to the code itself. For example, this method was covered by at least two unit tests. And actually, if you click, you can go to unit test directly. You could go back. But say, for example, if I didn't have unit tests, let's delete this. Then I go back to the command, and this is telling, oh, this is not being unit tested. Yeah. So as soon as you are developing, you could just use this as a guide, you know, maybe because this is a concept about, you know, line coverage and brand coverage. So when you do, you can have reports, like if I go to the GitHub repo, for example, this is the repo on GitHub. I have basically two metrics. One is line coverage, and the other one is brand coverage. The main difference, this is just counting lines. It's saying, for example, you have 1,000 lines of code, and you have an if-else branch, for example. Say you had like 900 within the if, and like 10 within the else. And you actually tested only the first one. You would get a line coverage of 90%. Because it's just counting numbers. It's just from the total of 1,000 lines, I tested 900. But actually, is not good because you actually tested one of the two different scenarios. So if we use the branch coverage metrics, that would be 50%. Yeah, because only the if was tested, not the else. So I use branch coverage. So this is something to tell you, OK, for example, this branch in my code wasn't tested, for example. But if you had an unit test, you could have something like this was tested, but this you know, else wasn't. That's a, yeah. So when to stop? So when you feel tired? That's a good question, because if you start using unit testing, you had some legacy code, well, legacy use code that is not being unit tested. So for example, you could do something like, if you have an online, you could go, you know, the organization insights. It's showing a list of all the requests that happen in CRM. You could extract the information and know, for example, which are the plugins that are most executed. And maybe that's would be a good idea to start with that one first. Because it's just most of the time, if it fails, then it's more likely that your manager will start calling you, what the hell is going on? Like, so. But it's always up to you. Like, because the like when to stop is like never, because you know you keep changing things all the time. Yeah? That's a work in progress. So I started another repo, which is the same but -js. And the idea is that, again, automatically intercept the web API calls, like select, you know, I'll just scroll down. Automatically intercept the HTML, HTTP requests, and then just parse the OData query for you. And then I'm using Edge.js. The reason is, from JavaScript, I want to reuse. I want to spend like another 2 years doing the query engine in JavaScript. So I'm just calling from JavaScript using Edge.NET code, getting the response, and then because then you can use assertions on JavaScript to say, you know, I have like again, I should have two accounts in JavaScript. So it executes the query using the kind of the .NET version, C#, returns the results to Node.js. And then it composes a response following the web API specification, and then you can start doing unit testing JavaScript. It's a bit more slow than just using JavaScript, but it just works. Yeah, and it's still a lot of work in progress for this one. And this is just about the web API. I'm going to start a new one for the XRM page, you know, the form as well. And actually, there was a guy who had done something, but it was the time of CRM 2013, I think, and it was abandoned. So I'm just going to copy and paste, keep his credits, and then start extending it. And if you want to contribute, then it'll be good. So I can sleep a little bit more. That's all. Any other questions? No. So thank you. That's all.